Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Dean's Den, with your host, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and from Sportskeeda.com, Lee Walker. Live from the Dean's Den, brings you the latest in wrestling news and wrestling opinion from two of the best journalists in the sport. So sit back, pop open a cold one, and get ready for Live from the Dean's Den. From the Dean's Den. I am, of course, the Dean of Wrestling Referee, Steve Kane. Lee Walker should be joining me shortly. We are less than 14 hours away from AEW Full Gear. We just got done with SmackDown Live, and we have a Full Gear preview show that will be taking place shortly on TNT. So, we're going to get this week into a little bit of what I'm calling the reemergence of Lionel Green. Now, if the name Lionel Green does not ring a bell to anybody, although he's now put that as his actual social media monikers, Lionel Green is the real name of the wrestler known as Lio Rush. Now, Rush was a major presence for Ring of Honor for several years until he was signed by WWE. He went to NXT and then promptly got himself in hot water when Tennille Dashwood was released right after she had had a match against Asuka on Monday Night Raw, and he posted on his Twitter, well, I guess Emma wasn't ready for Asuka, which was not received very well because Dashwood was very well liked among the WWE locker room. So he was kind of put in limbo for a while. Then he was able to get himself back within the good graces of the company, and from there went on for a short period of time to be on Monday Night Raw, where he was the rather obnoxious mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley. Now, it was during that time that there were more issues that happened, where he was saying that he didn't have enough money. Constantly, Lashley was renting the cars for the two of them, doing the driving and everything else. And he was getting a little bit of talking to from guys such as the World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry, Big Show, several others. But apparently he seemed at that point to have an issue with the advice and discipline being brought to him by these well-respected veterans. And then eventually he got released. Shortly after that, he seemed to completely disappear off of all of his social media accounts. It wasn't until probably about at least 6 months later, when he finally showed back up, talking about how he'd been dealing with mental illness, which a lot of people do. This is, unfortunately, it is something that occurs within our population nowadays. The good thing is that the stigma has been removed from it, and so what was once something that was not only not discussed out in the open, it was barely even talked about in private, in the back rooms, is now becoming something that, well, the expression is, it's okay to not be okay. And that does seem to be a good thing. And here we go. Lee is now with us here. Lee, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. I just came off of WWE SmackDown's Thunderdome.
Okay, we were wondering if that was going to be the case, if you were going to be in the dome from what you had mentioned on your Instagram earlier today. So, well, excellent, excellent. I'm just getting into the whole thing here, talking about how he had basically completely dropped off the face of the earth, left all his social media and everything, and then suddenly a few months ago he came back. He made two appearances wrestling Joey Janela for GCW, making it look like it was just a, I'm doing this so that I can say I've made my return and I'm done, except that now no longer seems to be the case, because this past week on the UWN Primetime Live series on Fight, Leo Rush made his debut there, beating Fidel Bravo. So,
All right.
oh, so it
The
looks like,
interesting thing about,
yeah,
go ahead.
go ahead.
The interesting thing about Leo Rush is he recently posted on Twitter that he is taking podcast and interview bookings.
Yeah.
I emailed him, a little curious, and I got a email back for 40 minutes. You can talk to him for $200.
We talked about that this past Thursday on the TNT on BTR show, and I honestly thought that Katie was going to choke to death because she was laughing so hard. I mean,
I had someone who's actually like friends with him and said to like mention that person, and I did, and it meant nothing, so I was like, okay. Read it, and he only wants to talk wrestling and his music, which is, understandable, but I don't know how much or how far of wrestling, he'll talk about. Will he talk about the negative stuff, with him with
Yeah,
WWE,
exactly.
or how much is he gonna tell?
Talk.
And
Right.
I've also looked at this as a little indifferent. As a journalist, you don't pay someone to do interviews with them.
Exactly.
The point of the interview is that person is coming to do the interview with you because they have something they want to talk about. They have something they want to promote.
Mm-hmm.
So you doing the interview is allowing that to happen. But
right.
Then to say, well, you have to pay me. So now you're saying,
yeah,
I have to pay you to come on my show and allow you to advertise. That's not how it works.
Right. Mm-mm. Yeah. When MLW first really kicked back in on being sports, I had gotten to the point where I had become a real big fan of Fred Yehi.
Mm-hmm.
So I found him on Facebook, and I messaged him, and he said, yeah, I'll do it for $25 for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately was like, dude, you ain't that big of a deal. Now, you're on a way out there network on a small time show. You're not worth 25 cents, let alone $25. And you notice you haven't really heard a lot from Fred Yehi in quite a while. So
yeah,
you know, now of course, currently too, UWN is holding their world title tournament matches, and so in the first round, Eric Redbeard, formerly Eric Rowan, defeated Fred Rosser. Sean Devari defeated Rocky Romero, and Mike Bennett defeated Kevin Martinson in his match to go ahead. Now, so he'll be facing Devari. Redbeard goes up against Chris Dickinson, who previously had beaten Peter Avalon. So this looks like so the semifinals in this tournament look to actually be very, very good. I would love to see either one of these two matches to, you know, see exactly what's going to happen later on.
Yeah.
So the other thing that with Rush is that last Sunday when AAA did the last event in their very popular Auto Luchas series, Yugo Savinovich announced that Leo is scheduled to take part in Triple Mania. Which,
ooh.
Now it's scheduled for December, but of course, you know, everything is COVID related, and right now, Mexico City is in what they are calling orange health conditions, so. What that means is that no fans allowed to attend any Lucha Libre. AAA cannot officially announce a date for Triple Mania. Now the only way that that changes is if the health code goes to yellow, or somehow AAA gets an exemption. Now there were some fears that the condition was going to get worse and they were actually going to move back to red, but right now it means that restaurants and gyms have had reduced hours. They have to close by 10:30. Meetings in indoor spaces at hotels were reinforced to be 10 people max. And obviously this definitely would throw a big monkey wrench into the plans for Triple Mania, because they're supposed to be doing this at Arena Ciudad de México, and they're allegedly going to allow 6,000 people into the building for this.
You know, I hope they can handle it, honestly, because I've been looking forward to this one.
Oh, me too. Me too. I mean, you know, because a lot of the stuff that they brought into play last Sunday at Auto Lucha's will definitely, of course, be running into Triple Mania. Plus, of course, the big thing right now, besides Rush being in, is the Kenny Omega Laredo Kid match for the Mega Championship. And as I said last week, I talked to Hugo about this, Hugo Savinovich, and he said they are working out a match right now that should definitely, once they get the okay and that, and they are going to run, should blow the roof off of the place. And I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I saw, you know, because of course Laredo Kid wrestled with the Lucha Brothers against the Elite, the Bucks and Kenny, at the original Fyter Fest, and the two of them were big. It was a good pairing watching the two of them in the ring. Then it'll be even more interesting and more fun to watch with the two of them just by themselves and with that title on the line. Okay. Let me try a little something here. All right. Hopefully that works. Is that better, Lee?
Yeah. You just,
okay.
You're just cutting out really bad from what I'm hearing.
Okay. I've been using an extender. I think since I'm in a smaller room now, I might just take this extender off and just plug direct into the computer after this. Going on with a little bit more in Mexico, CMLL is not going to be having any Friday night shows for the next 3 weeks either. It's been a lot of problems in that with the you know, obviously with the situation. Now there was a bar called DTU, which ran a show late Saturday night, early Sunday, there's promotion called DTU, and they ran a bar, and the bar has now been shut down for failing to adhere to COVID-19 regulations, with a Lucha Libre show specifically being cited. So, and then GQ Mexico has an article in this month's edition on AAA's Auto Luchas, where they talked to Carla Brava, Lady Maravilla, Big Mommy, and Partita Negra. And Brava mentions staying in shape by working out in parks and in secretly open gyms. Now Hugo actually broadcast on his Twitter feed earlier today an actual AAA practice session, which normally does not get out to the public, but he had this on his Twitter feed. Chessman was apparently running the practice and that, and it was definitely interesting seeing some of the familiar faces, with regular face masks on and that. And in the case of Mr. Iguana, he had his tights on, but obviously he didn't have his face and that made up in the green and the black and everything. So it was like, boy, that definitely looks different seeing Iguana like that. So, oh man. So
yeah, you know,
I
want to see it happen. You know, I unfortunately, with everything going on, you know, even here in the States, we've seen, you know, cases spike up again and everything. So, I mean, look at WWE right now with Florida, you know, being down there, being, you know, investigated as a COVID hotspot. You know, it's
exactly.
I just want to be in the crowd again. So, like it or not, wear your mask.
Right.
If the Luchas can wrestle in one for an hour, you can wear a mask for 10 minutes while you go to the store.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, you know, come on. It's not like, we're saying you can't go out. You can go out. You just have to wear the proper protective gear.
Yeah.
It's not an imposition and that. So, now speaking of WWE, they filed new trademarks on November 2nd, for the ring names Ezra Judge and Skylar Story. Now, I'm not sure who Skylar Story is supposed to be. Ezra Judge is the name that they're giving their developmental talent, EJ Nduka.
All right. I wonder what they're going to... I wonder if Joe Gacy is going to have a new name or not. He was... He's one that I've seen up my way quite a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I, it's gonna be interesting. And of course, at the same time, they also dropped the ownership of the name Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
Although Cody himself has said he won't add the last name. He's just going to strictly stick with Cody for now. I mean, it's kind of become what he's known as. So
yeah,
you know.
I mean, he wanted the name. He will. I feel like he will use it. You don't fight for something like that, and to not use it. You know, it's a wrestling family. You know, we know that, and I'd be even interested to see what Dustin does. You know, I'd love to, you know, hear like the Rhodes family and stuff like that. But
well, of course, Dustin does use the Rhodes name, and usually, if Cody and Brandy come out together, they'll sit there and say Cody and Brandy Rhodes, and that kind of puts it all in. It's almost like Billy and Austin Gunn.
Since
WWE is not allowing Kip to use the full name, Tony Khan was smart enough that they trademarked Austin Gunn so that Billy could come out with his kid and they'd still be able to use the same name. So now you saw Dynamite Wednesday, right?
What was that?
I say you saw Dynamite on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, you're cutting out again.
Oh, crap. I say you saw Dynamite on Wednesday, right?
I actually watched NXT.
Oh, yikes.
I did not catch AEW.
So you did not see the Pac video then, or have you looked
I was excited when I heard that he was returning, but I've been more of a fan of what NXT's been doing, so I tend to watch Dynamite over the weekend. I don't even look up the spoilers to anything, you know, even though I know there's a pay-per-view this Saturday. So what I'll end up doing is watching that episode of Dynamite probably right before the pay-per-view.
Okay. Well, you got to watch the Pac video. It is unbelievable. Let's put it this way. As good as the Impact Eric Young video was, this thing is 100 times better than that.
I might not even make it tomorrow. I might have to look that up after this.
Yeah, look that up after we get off the air. You will be very, very impressed. Now they've got a storyline in place for him. The problem, of course, is right now, if he flies out to come out and to Jacksonville and do tapings, when he flies back home, he has to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Before he can go out again.
Yeah, even before he can go out in public there in England. So it really kind of puts a damper on him being able to do anything at this point because there's no real sense in it because once he goes back, then he's on lockdown for 2 weeks, and then the whole process starts all over again.
Yeah.
So it's like, why bother getting yourself out if that's what's going to happen? But it was good to see him back on an AEW show again, even in this limited of a basis.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch it and then I can, give some insight. But I didn't get, even though I was excited to hear that he was returning, I didn't know in what sort of capacity he was returning. But nonetheless, what you hear that it's him, you can't help but be excited, So.
Oh, yeah,
I think the best way to utilize him right now was, or it's not fair to like make the guy quarantine for literally half a month to do
right.
one show. If you're gonna do
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
you better do some pre-recording stuff and get more than one show out of him to make it worth your
Exactly.
while to. Because they
Yep.
still got to pay to fly him out and put him somewhere and everything like that. I'm pretty sure AEW's live, so I mean there kind of goes that. But
Yeah.
I guess the best way to utilize him is just have him, cutting promos from home.
Right, at least right
If
now.
they have something for him, he can be. He can be taunting these guys and stuff like that, and
Yeah. Well, he's, I wait till, I mean, wait till you actually hear it because he talks about being, even angrier because he's been locked down for the last several months. It's a really good video. No question about it. And that. And then, well, starting very early this morning, or well, tomorrow morning, 3 a.m. Eastern time, will be New Japan's Power Struggle card in Osaka. And the lineup here, definitely. There's a lot of stuff. Once again, the balance of power in the company could shift. So they're going to have the current King of Pro Wrestling, Toru Yano, will be facing off against Zack Sabre Jr. And get this one, Lee. It's a no corner pads match.
that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, exactly. So every time you get whipped into that corner, it's gonna be bare metal hitting your back. Ugh.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm
Yeah.
oh, but then even then
Exactly.
there if but not even that with no turnbuckle.
Right.
Imagine what's
I
going to
mean,
happen. Someone does the, someone whips you into the corner and turns you around and goes to do the 10 headbutts to the turnbuckles, but there's no pad there. That's not going to feel good.
no, exactly.
Or when you
Exactly.
get whipped, oh, man. Yeah, no. Man, wow, no, that's, Yeah, not feeling that.
No. Well, I wouldn't want to feel that. And then, because Kichi Okada is going to be facing the great Okan, formerly known as Tomoyuki Oka. And he is, of course, now a stablemate with Will Ospreay and Bea Priestley in the Empire.
Man, I love Osprey.
So, yeah, Ospreay's good. I'm a huge Bea Priestley fan. That gal is a serious talent. And that, then the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship contractual rights match. So the current challenge, the current number one challenger for the IWGP U.S. title, Kenta Kobayashi, will be taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a big Tanahashi fan, anyway, and I mean, Kenta, the name speaks for itself.
Yeah, you know, he's done his thing everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he got a raw deal working for Vince, which, well, a lot of people get a raw deal working for Vince. But and you know, so this definitely, I it's gonna be a good match. You know, I mean, Tanahashi has been a little bit down lately, so it'll be interesting to see if he can, I'll come back against Kenta. Then the IWGP Double Championship contractual rights match. Kota Ibushi squaring off against the Switchblade, Jay White. So this is big. And of course, right now they're running the story about the power struggle within the Bullet Club between White and Evil. So there's, you know, so there's a lot of subplots that they have going on. And that. Oh crap, I did. Can you hear me now, Lee? Oh crap, I lost Lee. So, all right, well, I'm going to continue on, and hopefully you are able to hear me. But continuing on, again, we have Jay White going ahead, and he will be facing Ibushi, and then the winner from that will wind up facing the winner of the IWGP Heavyweight Intercontinental Championship match, in which the current champion Tetsuya Naito will face off against Evil. So, So, all right, I'm trying to get Lee back in. So I'm hoping that when we get back, when he gets back in, I am actually live. It's a little hard. I obviously can't tell because, of course, I don't have any live feedback from any of you folks. And so I have to kind of do this by ear. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna keep talking for a minute or two. We'll kind of see what happens here. Hopefully Lee will get the message, get back in, and go from there. Now at this point, it's looks like that this will be the last battle between Naito and Evil for quite a while. So we're just gonna have to see what happens there with that. Now, one issue that of course, Carmella made her return to SmackDown Live this week, and yeah, it definitely looks like she's had some work done. Well, that's all we'll say. She had some work done, and I'm sure that Corey Graves is quite happy with what she had done. So, all right. So Lee's just seen the message. So hopefully he'll get back in here real quick. We'll make sure that he can hear me, which means that you have been hearing me for the last few minutes while I've been talking about all of this stuff without him on. So, you know, if that's the, and hopefully that's the case, so that way we can at least get the last 15 minutes of the show done together. So we'll see what happens here. So I'm waiting patiently for Lee to get back on the air. I apologize to everybody that's listening going, well, why is he, okay, it's the situation is on his end. Lee has zero service right now. His self service completely cut out. So, oh boy. Well, that happens, unfortunately, sometimes dealing with that with one line of ours as well. So, okay, well, if that is the case, then we're just going to go ahead and call it a week. Next week when we get back, talk a little more about New Japan. We'll see if there's any changes within the situation for Triple Mania and go on from there. So this is the Dean of Wrestling referee, Steve Kane, and we'll talk to you later on. You've been listening to Live from the Dean's Den. Live from the Dean's Den airs every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Replays can be found on Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you next week.